unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will ye give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will ye give him a serpent? If he then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. The Lord is the truth. You ask us to ask, seek, and knock. And Lord, sometimes we give up on asking. We give up seeking you. And we totally don't knock anymore. I pray, Father, Lord, if someone here this morning, Lord, may they seek you. May they seek the truth of your word. May they knock on heaven's door today and say, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. And for your children, may we stop walking in the ways of this world and come home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, ask. You may be seated. Seek and knocking. So, let me ask you. I'm going to start the sermon this morning by asking two questions to you. All right? The first question is this. How is your relationship with God? The second question is, how was your relationship with people? Maybe put it this way. Your relationship with God determines how you treat people. You follow that? Because if you have a bad relationship with God, more than likely you don't treat people nice either. But let me put it this way. You should know by now that God did not create us to live in isolation. But He created us for relationships. He wants us to have a relationship with each other and a relationship with Him. Now, we all know that there are two types of relationships, right? You know what relationships are? There are bad relationships and good relationships. All right? There's some relationships that are really bad, and some other relationships are very good. So, humanly speaking, our world is full of both good relationships and bad relationships. Do you agree with me? Okay? So, and the same goes on with our relationship with God. You either have a good relationship with God or a bad relationship with God. So let me remind you something here this morning. Because you are a Christian, it doesn't mean that your relationship with God is the best. Okay, especially if you're living in sin, your relationship with God's not the best. You can have a bad relationship with God who created you and saved you. So Christians' relationship, so I'm going to put it this way. We are in the Sermon on the Mount here, that deals with the Christian relationship. So the last time we look at our relationship with other people, we ought to approach each other like as brothers and sisters who love rather than judge each other. Okay, now, this passage right here is part of the famous Sermon on the Mount. If you're a Christian, you understand what I'm talking about. So one thing that we can learn about the Sermon on the Mount is the fact that righteousness isn't simply a matter of outward behavior, but it's a matter of the heart. Right. You know, some people can have a form of righteousness, but it doesn't mean it's a godly righteousness. Because it proceeds from the heart. Some people can have a godly outward appearance, but have an evil heart. Okay, so in order for us to have a true, close relationship with people, such a relationship must come from within the heart. In order for us to have a true relationship with God, such relationship comes from within the heart. Because if you have a phony, false relationship with people, eventually it shows up. Will show up, and eventually somebody's going to say, oh, you are phony. You're not being truthful to me. So an outward relationship usually don't last because there's no feelings, no emotion, no commitment. Any relationship is a matter of the heart. Emotion, desire, commitment is the key for any relationship to be real and to last. Listen, if you committed to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, you don't have a problem reading your Bible. You don't have a problem memorizing Scripture. You don't have a problem telling people about the Lord. You don't have a problem to come to God's house. You know why? Because your commitment towards God. Same thing to any other relationship. Okay? So, now, our text this morning, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, like I said, describes truth of a strong relationship. So let Let's look at this from several points this morning about how a true relationship of God with God should be. So if you have the only, if you follow the outline, here it goes. The relationship of prayer. The relationship of prayer. God's people are known to be prayerful people. Okay? Actually, prayer is part of the
Christian life.
Christians pray. You agree? Christians pray. You know, again, that people don't care about church, don't care about God.
When they have a problem, you know what they do? They look for somebody that prays.
Usually, Christian people. So, a relationship with God's people are known as people who do pray. So, prayer is part of who we are as Christians. Prayer comes from a heart of what? Devotion. Prayer is an everyday thing in the life of a believer. But now we can ask, seek and knock if we... I'm sorry. But how can we ask, seek and knock, if we don't make the use of prayer seriously with the Lord? I know one time I had a pastor that said this. He said to him, so, pastor, what is the thing that you struggle the most? This is what actually on 1590 radio, which I don't even listen to radio. But anyway, happened that day that I heard that. And he says, my greatest struggle is prayer. I don't pray. All right, when you prepare your lesson, before you prepare your message, don't you actually pray that God will guide you what you're going to preach about? You know how many, times I sit in my desk and I empty?
Lord.
You know, I'm far-headed in my message, but I don't know what to preach. Lord, show me something. And sometimes, you know, you sit, open your Bible, and it's empty. The Lord's not speaking to you. What do? You pray, and you pray. You tell the Lord, put the
topic in whatever it is in your heart. Then you develop the message.
Preacher sat down like, wow. It just alarmed me. It's like, how could you not even pray? But some people don't pray.
So,
letter A, under that, the relationship of prayer. Ask, seek, and knock. We see this right there in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So, what a wonderful encouragement to pray. It is an amazing promise even to have the privilege for us to go before the throne of grace and talk to our Creator. So Jesus sets no condition here other than asking, seeking, and knocking. That's what prayer is about. So, there's nothing more exciting than knowing that the God of the universe desires to have a relationship with each one of us and hears what we have to say. You know what? Do you like people to hear you when you talk? Honestly, when you talk, if people not pay attention to you, what do you do? Why don't you listen? Oh, I'm not that important. That happens a lot in homes, right? Why am I talking to you looking that way? Why don't you
pay attention? Look at me when I'm talking. You want people to pay attention to you. Let me put it this way.
What about
us with God?
That's what prayer comes about.
Because when we pray with the right way, God is.
He's actually listening to us. Okay? That is an amazing thing. Actually, John chapter 16, verse 24 says, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Number one, keep on asking the Lord. So let's return to our verse in Matthew here and ask, seek, and knock. Three times in these verses, different ways Jesus teaches us that God promised to answer prayer. Again, it is that of our relationship with the Lord. Usually a person who have a strong relationship with the Lord is a person who spends much time in prayer. So asking is simply expressing you need to God. Asking you will receive. But they say, but Pastor, I've been praying for this fact. It's been so many years and look,
the Lord doesn't answer my
prayer. What should I do? You want the answer? Keep on praying.
Amen.
Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. You know,
God answered in this time.
Not in our time.
Right.
Because we want fast food. That's why we have a lot of fast food restaurants, right? You know, you go to the drive-thru, you get the food out the door, you know, because we want everything right now, right here, right here. You know, if you sit in the computer and the computer stops the loading a little bit at the time, you're worrying, going like, I hate this computer. You know, you want it like, poof, you know, open up, that's it, right there. You know, you see, God says, be patient. Stand still. Our answer when it's time. He knows better than we do. Okay? So, keep on asking. You know, the Lord didn't answer yet. Keep on asking. Don't give up. Okay, so, number two. I have my numbers messed up there, but keep on seeking the Lord. The word seek intensifies the process. We seek when we don't know where something is. Like this morning. I'm going to give you an example. I came here very early because my
fellow co-worker was not here this morning. I missed you, brother.
So, you know, I'm fixing everything for the lunch today, and I'm going everywhere. I kept losing my glasses. I'm like, where will I put my glasses? I'm going around. You know, I'm seeking. You know why? Because I need them. So I keep seeking all over the place. You know, then I found them. Then I lost them again. Then I'm seeking again. I did about five times. And I was like, somewhere my glasses went up in my car. Like, how in the world I put my glasses in my car? You know, I already have them inside the church. But see, what I do, I kept seeking. That's what we do. The Lord answered my prayer. Keep seeking heaven's door. Keep looking for, keep praying. Don't give up. You see, keep on seeking. The word intensifies itself. The better, the stronger the relationship, the more we seek the Lord. Number three, keep on knocking until you get an answer. The word knock intensifies the process even further. Seeking implies that you haven't found something yet.
Knocking implies that the door is shut
off for you. But here's a picture of the closed door that stands in your way. Have you ever had a closed door in your life that is so shut that you can't open that? So some doors are so shut tightly that you could never open that door on your own. But I tell you what, God is in the business of opening doors.
God can do that.
You can say, I witnessed to this person, they never received Jesus as Savior. Don't say never. Because God can do the impossible. In all we do, we pray for that person. We pray for that person. Here's one example right here. Jill Evans. Jill Evans here. Many of you know her. We prayed. And she kept saying no, and no, and no, and no. And one day she said yes.
Amen.
You know what God does? God opens doors. When we say it's so sharp, God says, I can do that for you. You know what we do? We pray. And God answers it in His time. Okay? So don't give up. So asking in prayer happens when you know that you need and you present your request to the Lord. Seeking in prayer happens when you don't know what you need. You know what you need is. So you keep seeking the Lord. Knocking happens when there is a closed door and we keep knocking until that door opens. So we are to ask, seek, and knock when we pray. So look what it says in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit desperately know their need for God, so they are not afraid to ask. You know what? That's why when poor in spirit, we know is a need. You know what we do? We go before the one that can answer our prayer. So we go to Him and we ask. Lord, I'm not afraid. I'm asking You because I can't do it myself. That's why we seek the Lord in prayer. So the Sermon on the Mountain shows us how far we fall before God's standards. So we ask, seek, and knock for righteousness that we may be filled. In the Lord's Prayer, we learn that we ought to pray for God's concern first and then for our own needs. So we ask, seek, and knock concerning God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. And then we pray for our three main human needs, our physical needs, our need for forgiveness, and our need for spiritual victory. You follow that? Some people think, listen, people can pray all kinds of nonsense, but listen, we have to pray according to the will of God. You know, oh Lord, you know what, I want to be rich. I want to wake up in the morning, I want to have money in the bank. I want to be retired, I want to do this, I want to do that. That's silly prayers. You know, because that you pray according to my will, and I'll give it to you. Look what it says, I mentioned this last week, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we ought to seek God and His kingdom, trusting that God will provide everything else that we need. Prayer is not a blank check to pray selfishly for whatever you want. Prayer was born out of relationship with the Lord. Prayer speaks very loud of our relationship with God. So listen, our relationship with God is displayed how much or the way we pray. Some Christians don't pray at all. Some Christians pray very little. Some Christians go days without talking with the Lord. How can we afford that? We have to talk with the Lord daily. Talk with Him daily. not memorize prayers. That means absolutely nothing. But talking with the Lord like He's listening, He's there listening to you. See, there is an encouragement to pray real prayers that seeks God and His kingdom first. So, we have here. Let me put it this way. Let me give you an example. When I hear someone knocking on the door, there is a difference when I look out and see a salesman at the door or one of my children. Why is the difference? Okay. If it's a salesman at the door knocking, I might turn back around and say, I hope you go away, and have opened the door, right? But if it's one of my children, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open the door. Why? Because he's one of mine. I want him to come in. Now, if we are God's children, don't you think God wants to listen to us? Don't you think the Lord will open the door? Of course He will. Of course He will. So the relationship of prayer. Number two, the principle, God's principle in answering prayers. So the question is, does God answer prayer? You know, God wants us to seek, right? Knock, ask. No, does God answer prayer? Does He answer your prayers? You say, Pastor, I've been praying for many years and God doesn't even listen to me. Okay. Next, Jesus moves to God's promise to answer prayer, to God's principle in answer prayer. Look what it says right here. Look at verse 9. Oh, what man is there of you whom his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? So Jesus is being very practical here. He's going down to the most simple person. And he says to you, what man is there of you if your son asks bread and you give him a stone? Okay? Or if he asks him a fish and you give him a serpent? Look what he says. And he puts the whole thing together. If he then being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You see, Jesus has to look. Listen, if you as an evil people, if you as human people give good things to your children when they ask, you don't think your Heavenly Father can give you more and better than that? And why don't we get it? Because we don't pray. Because we don't ask. And many times when we ask with no faith. So Jesus is being very practical in the way He's speaking here. First of all, Jesus is speaking practical truth here. And His word have lots of common sense right here. Jesus wants us to grasp who our Heavenly Father is and what He can do for each one of us. And the principle here is twofold. Number one, letter A, the giving of our human fathers. He looks at the human fathers right here. So I would say that most human fathers give good gifts to their children, don't they? You know, godly people, they want, you know, it comes Christmas or birthday or anything else, they want to give their kids good things. And sometimes we say to our kids, I would give you the world if I could. You know, I don't have much to give you, but, you know, we do that, don't we? You know, I think that's, and Jesus puts that up right here. So he said, you know, if your kid asks a piece of bread, you don't give him a stone. Very practical. You see, if your child asks you for something good, you are going to give them something. You're not going to give something bad instead. And Jesus is very truthful here. Number two, you see, human fathers are sinful, yet they give good gifts. Jesus goes on one further on this illustration. Human fathers are so sinful, and yet they give good gifts to their children. You know? So whatever the answer is right here is good. Earthly fathers give their children good gifts. So the second answer right here is the giving of our Heavenly Father. Let it be. Look at verse 10. How much more shall your Heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? So Jesus make a comparison between earthly fathers and heavenly fathers here, and the Heavenly Father. How much more will God give good gifts to those who ask Him? Now, did you believe that God is the giver of good things? I believe so. You know how many times we can, I put it like this, practical right here. We can sit all together here and talk about the goodness of God. I think we're going to say a lot of things. We're going to praise God together right here because we're going to say, God is good. It goes like this. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Because He is the giver of good things. Okay, so, and Jesus makes the comparison right here. You see how simple He becomes here? So the key word in this verse is how much more, or you shall ask them. So those, you see, your earthly fathers give you good things. Because how much more can God give you if you ask? Wow. So God's gifts, number one, are perfect, always perfect gifts. God is perfect, loving, and righteous, and His gifts to His children are always perfect gifts. Our God is a perfect, loving, and righteous God. If our sinfulness doesn't get in the way of giving good things to our children, how much more can God, who is perfect, can give to us? Number two, God's gifts are always on time. Listen, God doesn't get stuck in traffic. God doesn't say, I got to stop and have some lunch because I didn't eat all day. You know, just God doesn't do that. You know, say, look, you know what? I Amazon is going to deliver your gifts. That's what, you know, you're praying. God says Amazon is going to deliver your gifts. Or what, are UPS going to deliver your... No, God's gift is always on time. You know, the thing is, with us as humans, we have to wait on God's time. Because this time is not our time. So we pray, believing, we pray with faith, and we ask, let God be God in His time. I was singing a song. In His time, God will answer. Amen. We have to be patient and be still and know that He is God. Okay, so God is always on time. He is our Heavenly Father, and He's given our never too late, never too early, but always on time. You are His precious child, and He loves you. He will not leave you knocking at the door like the traveling salesman. Whatever you ask, seek and knock at the Lord's door. He always hears and always will answer you. Let us see the answer of our Heavenly Father. Because our Heavenly Father is holy and perfect in everything that He does. There are ways on which He will answer our prayers when we ask, seek, and knock. Two more principles in God's answering prayer in your heart and God's wisdom in love. So look at your heart, your heart's condition. How God withholds answered prayer from you and me. How? Look at this. Go to Psalm 66:18. How? Pastor, I'm praying, but it seems like God's not listening to me. All right. There are ways why God doesn't answer prayer sometimes. Look what it says right here in Psalm 66:18. You ready? If I regard, is that word says, the iniquity says sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear whom? Me. You see that? Okay, I'm a child of the Lord. I'm a child of God. But I'm living in sin. And I'm going to ask Him things. God says, unless you repent of what you're doing, I will not listen. I will not answer you. He listens because He's God. But He will not answer you. Let me put it this way. All right. Who's married? Who has children here? Who has children here? So you understand that concept, right? Your children is disobedient. Your children giving you a hard time. Your child goes, Mom, can I have that lollipop? Most parents would say no. Why? Because you're being disobedient. You need to be obedient. The same thing with us. If I regard sin in my heart, God will not answer me. And the psalmist actually admits that. Let me give you a good example of what happens when there's iniquity iniquity or sin in the camp, and now the Lord does not answer our prayers. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 1 says this way, but the children of Israel commit a trespass or sin in the accursed things of Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zadok, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 5, it says, and the men of Ai smote of them about 30 and 6 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shebron, and smote them, and in the going down, wherefore the heart of the people melted and became an as water. Now, let me put it this way. Why that happened? Because it was sin in the camp. And God says, I'm not going to answer you. I'm not going to bless you if you are having that sin. I'll tell you what. Christians, God's people, they miss a lot of blessings of the Lord when our heart is full of sin and we don't confess it before the Lord. You know, I say this all the time. Keep short accounts with God. When you recognize that you sin against the Lord, ask forgiveness. Don't say, I do it later. I do it this evening before I go to bed. Do it there. Don't break that relationship with the Lord. There's many examples in the Bible of this stuff on which the Lord withholds answering prayer. Number two, we see God's wisdom and love. And then there's God's wisdom and love here. Jesus says God gives good things. So are you asking for a good thing? If it's good for you, good for the kingdom, for the God's kingdom, God says, I'll give it to you. Look, it says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. You see, the Bible says every good thing comes from God. God doesn't give you evil things. He gives us good things. Okay? So, God not only gives good things, He only gives good things, and every good things come from Him. Psalm 34:10 says, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Why? Because God gives better things to us. Get this. It is good for us, we shall have it. If it is good for us, then we shall, then the withholding of it is good. All things for good. So we cannot honestly say it is all good with God. It is all good. God praise God that He knows the difference between our wise and our foolishness requests. You know, sometimes we ask foolish things. The Lord knows. And the Lord knows the wise things that we ask and the foolish things that we ask. But you know what? God knows. Can you imagine if God answered all our prayers, even the foolish prayers that we ask Him? God gives good things to His children. So what do? We ask, we seek, and knock continually. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't lose hope. Why? Because we are worshiping, you are serving a great God. Why give up? Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep asking. But, Pastor, it's been so many years. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking until that door opens up. Number three. That's my last point. God's positive rule for living. So, we have a look at the relationship of prayer. We have a look at God's principle in answered prayer. And now, finally, Jesus closes out this section with God's positive rule for living. What we often call the golden rule. So it's not called the golden rule in the Bible. People start calling it that during the Middle Ages. But look what it says in verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye shall do that man should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So in everything, do to others what you have them done unto you. You follow that? That's the golden rule. So, you want people to treat you right? Treat them right. You want people to be friendly with you? Be friendly. You want people to be truthful to you? Be truthful. You see, it goes back and forth. You know, if we don't do right to people, what you expect back? If you are mean to people, what you expect back? It's human reaction. You see, we react to automatically. It's like it's a defense thing. But let me tell you, Jesus says right here, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even unto them. So, the Sermon on the Mountain so far, it is a good teaching right here. But look what it says right here. Just as God is generous to us in everything, in answering our prayer, we should be generous to others in our love for them. Okay? Just as God gives us good things in prayer, in answered prayer, we should do good things to others as we have opportunity to do so. don't determine how much you treat others by the way they treat you. Do you follow that? I do good to you if you do good to me. I'll buy you a Christmas gift. You buy me a Christmas gift. If you give me a present, I give you one. If you buy me a birthday present, I give you a birthday present. If you don't give me anything, I don't give you anything. You see, that's not good. That's turning evil for evil. You know what? Do unto others as you have done, have them do unto you. You know what? You treat others good in spite of they don't treat you good. You talk good about others in spite of they don't talk good about you. You give to others in spite of getting anything back. You know? You give somebody a present and they go, how much you pay for this? You know why they want to know? Because they want to give you something more expensive. That's competition. That's not love. You see, we do to others in spite of what they do back to us. You know what? That's what we should do. So, let me give you a little illustration. When I was a kid, I got in trouble for pushing another kid in the water. After he pushed me. So, I was in this big rock. Actually, I was a teenager when this happened. I was in Cranston. You've been in Cranston. They used to have a public swimming pool there, okay? So I was there at the edge of the pool. And I found myself in the water. I fell a hand, you know, and my friends there. And I fell a hand and poof, in the water I went. I was in the deeper side of the pool. So I came out laughing and said nothing wrong about it. So I came out back in when I got back and when I got the opportunity, he went in the water too. You know, with a couple other guys. And guess who saw me? The lifeguard comes to me and said, you out. I'm like, but I didn't already start it. Listen, that's not how it is. I could have just let it go. But that's what we do, isn't it? You do to me, I do unto you. And God says, don't do unto others. Okay? So, Jesus tells you simply to put yourself in others' an other person's place and ask yourself, how would I like to be treated in this situation? If you mess up at something, would you like to be yelled at? If you make a mess of something, you like somebody to yell at you? Oh, my mother was good on that. Why did you do that? Oh, okay, anyway, I don't have another time. She didn't have him with the look. If not, then don't yell at people. You see, if you mess up, you don't want people to yell at you, don't do the same thing back to others. You follow that? If you are engaging in a business transaction, would you like to be cheated? No. If so, then don't cheat on others either. If you hurt someone badly, would you like to be forgiven? Yeah. If so, then forgive others when they hurt you. Jesus said, in everything, do to others what you have them done unto you. That's the golden rule. So letter A, phrased is positively rather than negatively right here. Okay, however that goes. Let me ask you three comments in this verse in closing. First of all, notice that it is a positive the way it is written. God says, do unto others as they do unto you. That's a positive thing. That's not a negative thing. God says, be positive. You know, because other people treat you bad, don't treat them the same way. If people be evil to you, don't be evil to them. Actually, it's not a Christian way to do it. What we do to people that mock us and make fun of us and call us names, we pray for them. You know why? Because they need a Savior. So it's a positive thing. You know, if you want to, don't be yelled at, don't yell at people. If you don't want to be cheated, don't cheat at people. If you want to be forgiven, forgive others. See, it's a positive thing. You want to see something that Jesus did that is very positive? All right, when he was hanging on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. That's a positive thing. He didn't say, Father, send them all to hell because they are wicked. He didn't say that. He said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. So it's a positive thing. Let it be phrased absolutely rather than specific circumstances. It says all things in everything. Secondly, notice there's a phrase absolutely rather than according to specific circumstances. Jesus said, in everything do to others what you have them done to you. In everything you do, in every aspect of life, always treat others the way you want to be treated. Wow. Be kind, be loving, be humble. Be courteous. You see all these things? Be willing to help, you know, because that's the way you would want them to treat you. You say, but people are so wicked. People don't do those things to me. No. The thing goes to you and to me the way we treat others. Not the way they want to treat us. Because, let me put it this way. The only person that you can control is whom? Yourself, exactly. And we don't do a good job at it many times. But you know what? The only person we can control is ourselves. We cannot control others. So Jesus said to you and me, in a positive way, do unto others as you have them do it unto you. The way you want to be treated, treat them that way. And I don't think no one wants to be treated in an evil way. If somebody's rude to us, we go, oh, that person's so rude. Oh, that person's so mean. We don't want to be treated that way.
Let us see Jesus' reason for following
the golden rule. Look what it says. For this is the law and the prophets. You see? You don't follow this rule in order to get something back. You don't treat people well in order to get that they may treat you well. No, you follow this rule because it sums up the law of God and the prophets. It sums up all that Jesus has been teaching about the Christian or Christian character, influence, righteousness, motivation, and relationships. God is what is God's
positive rule for living, that all things whatsoever
he would that man should do unto you, that ye even so do to them. So in everything, do to others what you have them do unto you. That's the way God wants us to do. So,
okay, the subject of prayer.
I'm going to close with this. Do you pray for your enemies?
Yes.
You should. Did you pray for people that
treat you bad?
You should. Do you pray for your president regardless of what party you belong to? You should. You pray for your senators? You pray for the House of Representatives? Oh, I don't pray for those evil people. You should. You know why? Because that's the right thing to do. Regardless if they represent you well or not, you know why? They're in the place where God puts them.
We need to pray for them.
Regardless of what they're doing. You might not agree with their, listen to this, their policies, but they're human beings that need a Savior. You say, you know what? I see so much mockery of our president. All right.
Okay, you can agree and disagree with the policies, but I tell you
what, is a human being in
the White House that needs
your prayers.
Pray for them. So, conclusion. This is a wonderful
section of the Sermon on the Mount.
That's right.
It is a
breath of fresh air.
Ask the Lord. We seek
the Lord and we knock.
That's the Christian life. That's the way we should
pray.
We ask.
We seek and knock. You know what I did when I had cancer? I memorized this passage.
Every day I was asking
the Lord. Lord, I'm not afraid of dying. I know where I'm going. I'm one of your children.
But Lord, let me live a little longer. Let me live a little longer. I want to live
and die a good old age. I was like,
prayer, Lord, not a selfish prayer. I know it was, I mean, it's
God's will. If you want to take me tomorrow, tonight, what took me back, then you would too do it. But I was
the desire of my heart.
And God knows I was sincere with Him. So I kept asking. And every day I seek His face. I even opened my Bible on my knees and I asked Him, show many tears there. Seeking the Lord, and I kept knocking and knocking every single day. You know why? When the doctor said, you're cancer free, I said, hallelujah, right in the office.
Amen.
I walked out of there and said, God really answered my prayer. You know what? Because He listens to
sincerity
of a human heart. You know, there's many prayers that people pray to God and they're very selfish, and in many prayers with no faith at all. We should never have took the Lord with no faith at all. That prayer. Prayers that we do should be full of faith, believing that our God is listening. Listen, we don't come to church just to sing. Who's listening to our music?
God is.
Who takes the glory?
God is.
To Him be the glory, right?
make unto church.
We believe in our hearts that our
prayer,
our offering, our preaching, everything we do is for Him.
Right.
Glory. So when we pray, why don't we believe? When we, in the privacy of our own homes, pray, why don't we pray with that fervent faith that God is going to answer, and we believe that He's going to, that what He asks is going to come true?
You know, because
Jesus said, ye of little faith. Oh, we are hearts full of sin that we don't listen, we don't ask forgiveness. But let me tell you, God, Jesus said right here, He said, ask, seek, keep on knocking. Don't give up. Keep on knocking.
Because God knows you.
Another. And Lord, I pray
this morning, if someone here never received Jesus,